Hallelujah. Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about the phrase, that specific phrase in and of itself. I haven't talked about that before, and so let's just discuss that. What does finding life, enjoying life, and winning in life actually mean? So just in the remaining time that we have in our service, because we've actually done a number of other things just for those watching, so it'll be a little bit shorter message today, but I want us to just touch on and get into what finding life, enjoying life, and winning in life is all about. So finding life, let's start out first of all, finding life. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. And while you're turning to 1 John chapter 5, you can make a note of John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen. So finding life really has to do with Jesus. Finding life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 11 and 12 says this: "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." So it makes it very clear here that he that has the Son has life. He that has Jesus has life. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm just going to go through a bunch of scriptures here. John chapter 1. John had a revelation of this, as you're going to see here. John 14, 1 John 5. Now John chapter 1. John chapter 1 said this: "In the beginning was the Word." John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through or by him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man," or the light of mankind. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend," or my cross-reference says, "overcome it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and darkness could not overcome it." Darkness cannot overcome light. Hallelujah. And so then we can understand this: death cannot overcome life. Hallelujah. Amen. What else? John chapter 3, verse 16. We know that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting life. Now, the word everlasting life is the Greek word zoe, and it means the life of God, or the fullness of life. And it's translated a number of different ways. It's translated eternal life. It's translated everlasting life. It actually means perpetual life. And we're going to read this in John 10:10, but it's also called the abundant life and living. So the interesting thing is that eternal life, sometimes we get this idea that eternal life is something that happens to us once we get to heaven. Eternal life includes heaven, but eternal life is not going to heaven. Eternal life literally begins the moment we got born again. We were translated from death to life. We were born again. We became spiritually alive. Eternal life began the moment we got born again. So when we physically die, then we go to heaven. But that's not when eternal life begins. It began the moment we got born again. Amen? That's good news. So we're not waiting just for good things till after we die. Part of God's plan is that he wants us to, "Your will be done on earth in our lives as it is in heaven." Not having to wait to get to heaven, but we are to be enjoying these things now. Amen? While we're here. Good things. Glory to God. So, finding life is all about finding Jesus. eternal, everlasting, perpetual, and abundant life is only found in Jesus. So finding life begins with Jesus. That's the first point, finding life. Finding life begins with Jesus. Now, what about enjoying life? Part two, number two, enjoying life. So finding life, enjoying life. Why are we here? To find life. We're helping people find life, enjoy life. What does that mean about enjoying life? Well, John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus speaking. He says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The thief, talking about Satan, he says he's only come to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's DNA, his fingerprints that he leaves on stuff, is stealing, killing, and destroying. So all we got to do is check out what was going on, and we can find out, you know, whose fingerprints are left in the situation and circumstance that people have experienced, and we can tell who's been there. DNA, fingerprints have been left behind. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, my fingerprints, right? My DNA. When Jesus shows up and he comes around, what does he do? What does he leave? He says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, the word more abundantly, so he said, I've come that you might have life. So that's Zoe. Not just existence, not just, you know, being able to breathe. Right? This is the God kind of life. This is life in its fullness. This is the eternal, everlasting, abundant life. Abundant life. The word abundant life can also be translated superabundantly, excessively, beyond measure, superior in quality. This is the kind of life and living that Jesus has bought and purchased for us. The abundant life, the superabundant, excessive. In other words, it's so much better than we would even like. It's so much better than anyone else would do for us. It's excessive. It's way beyond. That's the way God does things. He's called El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. He's not just enough. He's not just a little bit more than enough. He is excessive. He's more than enough. Amen? And he causes our cup to not just get full and not just kind of just a little overflow, but he causes our cup to run over. This is who he is. It just runs over, Lord. It's running over. It's running all over. It's on all over the table. It's pouring on the floor, and it's, you know, it's kind of like my meatball. It fell off and ran out, and you know no. It just overflows, and it just goes. Why? Because he's more than enough. He's more than enough. You'd think you know how many bananas the monkeys could eat in the jungle, but there's always more than enough bananas. More than enough bananas, right? Remember when Abraham and Lot, they were out and they had so much cattle that the land couldn't contain both of their groups of cattle. It was just too much cattle. Well, God, I mean, why did you bless me so much? It's just too much. That's just his nature. It's just too much. So it's time to expand, right? He's the God who's more than enough. Superabundant, excessive, beyond measure, superior in quality, life and living. This is what he has for us. This is the fingerprints and the DNA of Jesus. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This is the kind of life and living Jesus has given us. Hallelujah. enjoying life, now interesting, enjoying life is more than just, because I'm thinking about, okay, enjoying life. So generally our idea of enjoying life would be, you know what, if we just, you know, vacation time and just get a little bit of break and maybe making some more money, or enjoying life would be, you know, just hanging out with certain people, and enjoying life would be, you know, kind of just relax and maybe some things, some toys, you know, being able to enjoy life. And that's enjoying life on a shallow level. And that's where most people are living, on a shallow level, because enjoying life is more than that. Enjoying life is way beyond the things and the toys and the trips and people. It's more than that, let me say. It's more than that. No, it would include that. Okay? So we're not putting that stuff down, because it just most definitely that stuff's enjoyable. You know, some people, they like a golf trip. Another one liked a fishing trip. And someone else would just like a beach trip. And someone else likes a ski trip. And someone else just give me a trip. I mean, you know, just give me a break. You know, let me sit in my fire pit in the backyard. And some people don't want to go anywhere. They just, let's just relax. And, you know, so let's hang out. So this stuff is included. But the interesting thing for us, enjoying life, it would include these things, but it would be on a higher level than the world, because we have Jesus. See, it's interesting. The world has this idea of enjoying life, and it becomes like one day. Thank God it's Friday. We're living for the weekend. But that's not how we ought to live. Every day ought to be exciting. Every day ought to be good. Right? Enjoying life ought not just to be set apart to just one day or a couple days. Enjoying life. See, this kind of life and living, Jesus has given us. So once again, enjoying life is not just about the things we enjoy. It's enjoying something that he's given us. It's beyond the things. It's beyond the toys. It's beyond the activity. We can only really enjoy these things when these things are not the source of our joy. We can only really enjoy these things when these things are not the source of our joy. Colossians 2:10 says this. It says that we are complete in him. Right? We're complete in him. We're not complete in our, you know, the fancy job. We're not complete in the fancy office. We're not complete when we finally get the house in that neighborhood. We're not complete when we finally get to get married. And we're not finally complete when we get the certain car or the certain truck or the certain motorcycle or the certain boat. We're not complete when we get to be able to hang out with a certain people. Those things are all for our enjoyment, but we are complete in him. Amen? So whether we ever get the house, whether we meet the people, whether we ever get the toys, all the toys that we want, we're already complete. We're already excited. We're already full of joy. Why? Because we are complete in him. And so we just keep moving upward. We just continue growing. We continue going from glory to glory and faith to faith. There's just this continued growth and increase in our lives. And we never just arrive, because in God, there's always more. It always just gets better and better and better. Amen? So the things don't complete us. We are complete in him. We are complete because of Jesus, and that makes these things enjoyable. Why? Because there's no strings or expectations attached. Right? Sometimes if I could just get that car, if I can just get that car, and you get the car and then you go, wow, it's still just four wheels and a seat, and you know what, it may go faster than my other car. It may look better than my other car, but it's still a car. And someone scratches it and it's like, ah! And then all of a sudden it's like, well, what can you do about it? You know, it's just a car. It's just a house. You just sleep in it, and it's got to be vacuumed or swept and dusted, and it's just, you know what? It's just stuff. So just, we enjoy the stuff. Don't put this expectation on the stuff, because the stuff cannot reciprocate or meet our expectation. We're complete in Him. He's our source, and we're just supposed to enjoy the stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this: command those who are rich in this present age. Now he's talking to church people. Timothy's talking to church people, so there ought to be rich church people. He says, talk to the rich people. So there ought to be rich people in church. So I'll say, yes, amen. I'll sign up for that. That's me. Amen? So command those who are rich in this present age. So what do we need to understand? What do we need to learn? What's the Spirit of God saying to us through the Apostle Paul? He says, listen, do not be haughty, nor put your trust in the uncertainty of riches. So the temptation is, the more we have, the more trust and confidence we put in what we have. But he said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. He said, what are we supposed to do? Don't get proud and haughty, and don't put your trust in the uncertainty of riches, but in the living God. Our trust is to be in the living God, who does what? Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, if you throw in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 says that He freely gives us all things. And so I like combining the two. He freely and richly gives us all things to enjoy. We're not having to earn it. We're not having to perform for it. It's literally, He says, He freely and richly gives it. So we need to receive it. We need to learn how to receive and walk in it by faith. But it's not something that we have to earn. Because the moment we got born again, the moment we've been made the righteousness of God, it becomes our legal right. It becomes our inheritance. Amen? And you don't earn an inheritance. You're literally just, you're born into it. Right? It's just the way it is. So he said that we are to, he's given us these things so we can freely and richly enjoy them. So we're to enjoy the things. But we're not complete by the things. We're complete in Him, and we enjoy the things. So we are complete, hallelujah, because of Jesus. And so there is no strings attached or expectation attached to the things. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And verse 24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And then you go, okay, well, what kind of day is that? This is the day. This is the day. Does that mean that it means like Sunday is the day the Lord has made and we're to rejoice in? Well, what about Monday? What about Tuesday? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what does he mean by this is the day? Well, if we back up to verse 21, we see this. Says, I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. So this is the day of what? This is the day of salvation. And 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says this, that behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So this is the day the Lord has made. Well, what kind of day is that? Well, it's the day of salvation. It's the day of salvation, so what am I going to do? I'm going to rejoice and be glad. Why? Because it's the day of salvation. Well, what does salvation mean? I mean, you know, we might be born again and think if that's all that salvation is, then, you know, we can rejoice about that, but there's a whole lot more than just being born again. The word salvation means this. Both in the Hebrew and the Greek, it means this. It can also be translated as deliverance, healing, preservation, wholeness, soundness, prosperity, avenged, and victory. This is the day the Lord has made. Now, today, it's a day of deliverance. It's a day of healing. It's a day of prosperity. It's a day of victory. It's a day of avenged. In other words, it's the day God said, vengeance is mine. So it's his, it's not mine. It's his, it's not yours. Vengeance. He's going to vindicate us. You know what that's called? That's called justice. Justice. And that is part of righteousness, where he sets things right, puts things right, and makes things right in our life. Avenged. It's part of salvation. Hallelujah. We could say it this way. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Amen? It's time that we are avenged. Avenged for what? Avenged. We're standing on God's word. We're standing on his promises. God, this is what you said. I believe it. And I begin to rejoice and thank you for it. And I thank you that you are vindicating my stand on your word. You're vindicating my stand and my confidence and my trust in what you said. I believe what you said. So be it unto me according to your word. Amen. So this is the day the Lord has made. I'll choose and rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because it's the day of salvation. Now, it's very important that this is a choice that we make the moment our eyes open up in the morning. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've asked people, hey, how you doing? And they go, it's still early. Right? So they want half the day to kind of come and go before they tell me how their day is. It's very important. We just decide how our day is first thing in the morning. And not wait half the day to figure out, you know what, if it's going to be good or bad. Let's just call it good. Amen? Let's just start the day off good. Call it good. What side of the bed did you get off? I get off on the bed, the same side of the bed every day. It's the day the Lord has made. I just choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? We have a choice. And so let's do that first thing in the morning. Not waiting till lunchtime to see how things turn out. Enjoying life is a choice before the activity. What do I mean by activity? Enjoying life is a choice before we actually experience. So if we make a choice, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, then it's a choice that we make first thing before we even have something that we might say the experience to enjoy and shout about. You know what I'm saying? It's we're not just waiting for, did it turn out good? Did it turn out bad? And you know, how did it turn out? And then I'll rejoice. No, we just rejoice first. And it's amazing how things tend to work out better when we choose to rejoice first thing in the morning. While I'm saying that, I do just want to make, I want to share a testimony, a quick testimony. Last year, I'm just thinking about it now, so I'm going to share. Last year, there was a motorcycle for sale in our neighborhood. And just to make a long story short, the Lord began to talk to us that it was my motorcycle. And so I went to take it for a test drive, and the man's wife said, God told me that it's your motorcycle. And so we played dumb and went, oh, you know, smiled. But she said, my husband needs to know that. And so I took it for a test drive, and it was for sale still for a few months, and then all of a sudden it wasn't for sale anymore, so we thought it was sold. But what did we do? We chose to continue to rejoice and be glad. Speak words of faith, love, and forgiveness, you know. And then 3 weeks ago tomorrow, I get a phone call, and the guy says, he phones me up and he says, do you still want the motorcycle? I said, yes. He said, come get it tomorrow. He said, I'm going to clean it up and fill the gas tank up for you. So that's my new motorcycle that God gave me. He says, I haven't been able to sell it, and it was actually priced below market value, so he wasn't trying to get too much from it. But literally, that's my motorcycle there. So he said he was convinced it's mine. Right, that's right, that's what he said. It was no longer just, you know what, this is my wife's idea or whatever. All of a sudden it's like, I'm convinced it's yours. So I said, well, this is more than just you giving me a motorcycle. This is seed. Why? Because when I met him and I went to ask about the motorcycle, the first thing he said to me is, I'd give it to you, but I have to sell it. Why? Because they're dealing with some debt that they were having, wanting to get rid of. And so he was under pressure, and, you know, all we got to do is look in the mirror and understand how pressure makes us think. So it just took a while. But he said, I'm convinced it belongs to you. And so I said, this is more than just you giving me a motorcycle. This is seed sown. So and the Lord said this to us years ago about some income tax refund. He said, this money is worth more as seed than it is as a, you know, an extra payment on your line of credit. And then the same thing I said to this guy, this motorcycle is worth more than a sale. It's worth more as seed to you than a sale, right? You know, he sells it, he gets $10,000. He sows it. At 100 times, that's $1 million. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And I'll tell you what, I mean, 7-fold is already over 100 times. 10-fold is already over 1,000 times. Matter of fact, just on a dollar, 30-fold is already in the billion-trillion flow. So, you know, just it's more than just I'm giving you a motorcycle. This is really the plan of God, as we saw, and He stepped into the plan. He sowed the seed, and we're calling their debt paid off and paid in full, and more and extra in the bank. Not just debt paid off, right? Because of the fact about debt paid off, the people living under the bridge are debt free, but that's not what we want. Isn't that true? The homeless that are living under the bridge, they're debt-free. But their quality of life is very low. So debt freedom is not the ultimate. We want to be debt-free, but also have a pile of money in the bank and, you know, being able to enjoy life, find life, enjoy life. Amen? And so then what's the next thing? Finding life, enjoying life. So enjoying life is a result of walking close with Jesus. Finding life begins with Jesus. Enjoying life is a result of walking with Jesus. And let's talk about number three, winning in life. Now I'm going to quote a few scriptures here so you can write them down and look them up. But 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. So just a page or two over, probably in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Right? So there's victory and there's triumph. And it's not just occasional triumph. According to the scripture, it's always triumph. Thanks be God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says this. It says that in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He's given us the victory. We always triumph. We're more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. Right, and I've heard the example about the boxer who wins the boxing match. He's the conqueror, but he comes home and gives the check, you know, the $1 million, $10 million check to his wife. She's more than the conqueror. She didn't have to get hit. She didn't have to be beaten up. She didn't have to train. She didn't have to do anything. She just gets the money. Right? So it's that kind of idea. Jesus fought the fight. Jesus won the battle. And we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And if we start in verse 4, it says, but God. Aren't you glad that there's a but God? No matter what the situation and circumstance we find ourselves in, there is always a but God. There's always a but God. Hallelujah. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great I like the Amplified. His great, wonderful, intense love with where he loved us, and in order to satisfy that great, wonderful, and intense love wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses and sins, he did what? He made us sit together. He raised us up. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved. Verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So because of his great, wonderful, intense love wherewith he loved us, and in order to satisfy that great, wonderful, intense love wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. Number one. Number two, he's raised us up together. And number three, he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he made us alive, he raised us up, and he seated us. But God. But God. Now, why did he seat us? What are we supposed to do when we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the Father's right hand? What are we supposed to do when we're seated? Jesus has been seated at the Father's right hand. And we've been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We were raised up together with him. We're seated with him at the Father's right hand. What are we supposed to be doing? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This is part of winning in life. Romans chapter 5. This is part of winning in life. Hallelujah. Winning in life. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Says, for if by one man's offenses death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the free gift of righteousness, the Amplified Bible calls it free gift of righteousness, and then it goes on to say, will reign in life. The Amplified Classic says, shall reign as kings in life through one, Jesus Christ. So what are we doing? Seated in Christ at the Father's right hand, he's called us to rule. He's called us to reign in life as kings through one, Jesus Christ. This is called winning in life. He's not caused us to be dominated. He's not caused us to be beaten down. He's not caused us to be under. He's caused us to rule and to reign, to have dominion in our own lives. Hallelujah. Winning in life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians 1, verse 13. Says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. And has, New King James says this, and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. New King James says, translated, I like the word beam. He's beamed us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen? In other words, we were in the kingdom of darkness, and we said, beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Father. He took us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen? We're taken out of one place, put into another. Vulcan. That's, we're here. That's, he's taken us. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? He did it. We're not having to do it. He did it for us. Glory to God. So he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated or beamed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Winning in life. Winning in life. Such good news. Then if we go to last couple scriptures, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, 4 says this. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater one lives in us. Amen? The greater one lives in us. We're not greater because of us. We're greater because of him. He's the greater one. He's living on the inside of us. He's given us the victory. He's given us, he causes us to triumph. It's all because of him. And if we work together and operate and function with him, hallelujah, we become more than conquerors. We enjoy a lifestyle of conquering, of winning. So greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And then if you just go to chapter 5, verse 4, says that whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, the God of this world, this system, the way things are set up here. There is a way for us to win in life, to overcome. He said, well, how do we win? How do we overcome? We do that by faith. We do that by faith. By believing what God said and acting on what he said. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. In other words, it's available to everyone. Because having faith is available to everyone. Amen? It's available to everyone. Matter of fact, he's given us faith. That's how we're able to get born again. And then from that point on, Scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So literally, it's available to every single person. So the victory is available to each and every one of us. Hear the Word. Act on the Word. Woo! Glory to God. Victory is ours. So, if we will walk with God, being led by the Holy Spirit, and learn and grow and do the Word, we will always win in life. Hey, I want to say that one more time. If we will walk with God, being led by the Spirit of God, and learn and grow and do the Word, we will always win in life. Now, even if something doesn't go our way, what about then? You know, because we're all in this growth process. So does that mean we're always going to win, even though always winning is available to us? Not on the journey. As we grow and learn and the farther we go on, we should be getting more victories, more victories, more victories. But sometimes it doesn't always start out this way. And sometimes we find a situation, a circumstance that just kind of, you know, shows up and kind of throws us for a loop. So what do we do when it seems like we didn't win? Well, Scripture tells us, let me just what's one of the reasons why we didn't win? Well, one of the reasons is Scripture tells us, Hosea 4:6, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So sometimes we don't know enough. Sometimes all we're doing is acting and living from what we know, but sometimes that's just not enough. Right? So that's why we constantly should be in this growth and learning adventure with God, continuing to feed our faith, continuing to work with him and learn more. So that's one of the reasons. So what do we do? What if something doesn't go our way? Well, then it's like, okay, let's evaluate. Just step back. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at people. Don't just, you know, throw down the towel and say, I quit. That's, you know, this stuff doesn't work. No, just step back, take a breath and go, okay, evaluate. Think about it. Say, Lord, what's going on here? You know, what am I missing, or what did I not do, or what did someone else not do? Sometimes it's not even our fault. Sometimes it's just someone else's fault. You know, Paul in the ship, you know, why are we having to spend 2-3 weeks in a storm? Well, because Paul said back here when they were taking him to Rome, he said, I perceive that this is not a good idea to go. And the owners of the ship and the captain and everyone said, yeah, but we're going to go. You know, so he found himself in a situation that it wasn't even his choice. He didn't even have a choice. He just found himself there. And in the storm, where the Bible says they all lost hope. There was no more hope. But God provided an answer. So sometimes it's us. I mean, we just don't know enough. I mean, well, okay, what did I miss it? What do I need to know? Or sometimes it's just a matter of, we found ourselves in a situation that it's not even of our making. And so what do we do? What's the wisdom then to navigate and come out the other side victorious? So sometimes it's just a matter of evaluating and then learning. Learning from a mistake, learning from something that we didn't know. It's like, oh, I get it now. I know now. So what does that mean? That means to me, if we find out why or why not, then that becomes a win in and of itself. Right? Because now the next time we have just set ourselves up, We have just set ourselves up to win the next time. We find ourselves in the same situation and circumstance. All of a sudden now we've got more knowledge. We've got more information. We've got more wisdom. So we've set ourselves up for success the next time. That's a win to me. That's a win. But if we keep on making the same mistake over and over and over and not learning from it, that's not a win. That's not a win. So we need to learn from it, and that's a win because we're setting ourselves up for success the next time. So God's will and plan is to continually lead us by His Word and Spirit into victory, winning, and success. So this is our finding life, enjoying life, and winning in life, okay? So this is what finding life, enjoying life, and winning in life is all about. We get to learn, grow, and develop more and more as we walk with Him. From faith to faith and from one degree of glory to another, we are moving up. We're moving up. We're continuing to grow. We're moving up. Amen? Say, I'm moving up. Moving up. Amen. Moving up. So it just gets better and better. And I can say gooder and gooder, right? Just because that's a fun way to say it. But things just get better and better, gooder and gooder for each and every one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your power, Your presence. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your Word that You are teaching and guiding and then leading us into finding life, enjoying life, and winning in life. We are moving up higher. It's just getting better and better and better in our lives because of You. Our walking with You and working together with You just as You are working with us. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.